I have no idea who that is. No clue, but I'll find him out for taking my face. That's my evil twin, Schmanthony. Good morning. My name is still Anthony. That hasn't changed between now and then. Welcome. We are so excited that you decided to be with us today. Big shout out to those who are listening on the podcast and watching on live stream. We're excited that you're with us as well. Just so you know, I do know my history, all right? I know that it wasn't the Germans who bombed Pearl Harbor. That's from Animal House. Watch the movie. Okay. So we're in the middle of this series called Life Coach, and that fun little teaser there is just goes to show you that, you know, God just didn't give us these scriptures just to give us an instruction book, just to tell us this is what you should and what you shouldn't do, is that God is actually stepping into our lives, and he's saying, you know what, I want you to know me. I want you to experience me. I want you to see how I work, and I want us to be in a relationship. But I'm also going to coach you. I'm also going to step into your life and give you direction. And see, he doesn't always step into our lives and says, you know, in throughout Scripture, he doesn't always give us everything we need to know. He often gives us principles, and on that, he expects us to build on that. But there are some things that he steps into our life, and he says, listen, these are so important. These are so important that I am going to step in and I'm going to give you guys direction. I'm going to coach you in these ways because these are so important that if you follow them, they could lead your life to absolute freedom, or they could lead your life to absolute destruction. And we've been having this, we had this verse that's kind of been our series verse that comes from 2 Timothy 3:16, and it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what's right. So he's basically saying, I want to teach you to be able to live well. I want to teach you to be able to live life to the fullest. And, you know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, he steps into us to be like a father, to give us direction. And maybe those, you know, maybe some of you in your lives have not had a father who was, you know, gave you that kind of direction or was there to be able to be like a coach. Or maybe you have somebody in your life that's a father figure. I mean, I was very lucky. I have a godly father, but I also had a coach who kind of changed things for me when I was in high school. He was a very motivational guy. He stepped in and he gave me great direction. His name was Coach Buckner. He was just a really, really great guy. And one of the best advices he could have ever given me is, you know, don't pursue a life in sports. So I didn't. But he was just a great, great guy. And so the first week we looked at the power of our tongue and the things that we say and just how God steps in and says, this is so important that if we can get our tongue figured out, that we could be actually perfect, because he knows that that is such a huge thing in our life. And then last week, Chris walked us through this great message on thankfulness and the importance of just filling our lives with gratitude. And this week, I want to walk us through something that I really believe that God it plays a huge role in a lot of our lives. And I know it's played a huge role in my life. And I want to start today by introducing you to something in my life that has had a very big impact in my life. This T-shirt here. This lovely, fancy T-shirt here. I went to undergrad at the University of Northern Colorado. That's what that UNC is. This is not the UNC that everybody thinks of. This is the other UNC. So I've had that in my life, my entire life. But this thing, this T-shirt, after all was said and done, is the most expensive T-shirt I've ever gotten. After all was said and done, this T-shirt cost me probably about $1,500. This pit-stained long-sleeve T-shirt cost me about $1,500, because this T-shirt here, my friends, was the T-shirt that I got for free when I signed up for my very first credit card. Free. And I got a $500 credit limit. Now, you could laugh at that, too, but hey, I was in college, and I thought to myself, I've got $500! I've got $500 of free money. Why didn't I discover this amazing thing called a credit card before? This is amazing. And then I started, you know, I had all this extra money now. I could do stuff with it. You know, like I was going to fill my car with premium gasoline just because I could. Not because it needed it, just because I could. And I started going and buying all these things, you know, buying stuff for the dorm room and posters and beanbag chairs, because that's what you do when you're in college. You just buy all of these things. I had all this extra, and now I wanted to consume. I wanted more stuff. I wanted this. I wanted that. My buddies were buying stuff. Why couldn't I buy stuff? Now, maybe you could identify with that, but I found this clip that kind of illustrated it perfectly in my life of what I was collecting. Can we roll that clip for me?
I don't need anything except this. That's the only thing I need is this. I don't need this or this. Just this ashtray. Just this paddle game. The ashtray and the paddle game, that's all I need. And this remote control. The ashtray, the paddle game, and the remote control, and that's all I need. These matches. The ashtray, and these matches, and the remote control, and the paddle ball. This lamp.
Oh, I love that. That's from The Jerk. If you guys haven't seen it, go out and find it now. It's one of my favorites. But it's so true, this world that we live in now, this world that's saying, you know what, we've got billboards, we've got commercials. It's like, this is all you need to be happy. This is all you need to bring contentment into your life. I read somewhere doing preparation for this message that the average American five-year-old has over 250 toys. I'm like, the kid's been alive for 250 weeks. He's got like a new toy every single week of his life, the average American kid. But we're told that we need all these things. And these commercials, they're just so, you know, they're so alluring. I mean, that's how I got into the Apple kick, you know. In my very first iPod, I was sitting at home on my beanbag chair eating Doritos, drinking a Yoo-Hoo, and the commercial came on. And it said, you know what, it was a bunch of skinny people dancing with their iPods. And I said to myself, well, I want to be skinny. I want to dance. I want an iPod. Then I went out and I got an iPod and I just fed into this culture. And maybe you know what it's like. You walk into, you know, BJ's, or you walk into Walmart, or you walk into Target, and you say to yourself, I'm just going to go in there for Q-tips, and you walk out with $300 worth of things. You say to yourself, I didn't know I needed all this stuff, but when I got in there, it was just speaking to me. As a result, I wanted to show you something that apparently I needed, okay? I'm walking out of a store, and this is what caught my attention, okay? This, my friends, I wanted to show this, is a steering wheel table. Oh, yeah. This attaches to your steering wheel, and it literally has an iPad right there, but it also works for your laptop as well. So just in case you want to, you know, catch up on your favorite Dancing with the Stars while you drive, you can have one of these. I didn't know I needed it, but I did need it. And so now my car needs repair. But with that in mind, we have all of this stuff, and we want more stuff, and we get so excited when we see the new, the best, the shinier, and the prettier, and I think this is something I fell into. Now, yes, I knew I was going to fall into this trap when I got this T-shirt, but it's happened when I was young, too. I was a kid, and one of my favorite places when I was a kid was Chuck E. Cheese. Have you been to Chuck E. Cheese? Some of your kids still bringing it? Yeah, I got some hoots and hollers. You know the allure of that place. It was the best. All right, some of you may be bringing your kids to Chuck E. Cheese now, and one of my favorite things about Chuck E. Cheese was all those games where you can get the tickets, right? All the tickets were coming out. I mean, I was a skee-ball legend in my hometown. But they would just come out, and I would just love tickets. And, you know, in my little seven-year-old hands, 150 tickets, I looked like the Monopoly guy. I was like, I'm rich! And then you bring them over to the store, right? You bring them over to the store, and you purchase, you know, you're like, oh, I got all these tickets. I bet I can get something amazing. I bet I can get something fantastic. And then when everything cashes in, you're like, what can I afford? A spider ring and a deck of cards. And that's what I want. You know, later on, my parents confessed that they threw most of that of what they called junk away. And I realized more and more that all of these things I didn't even miss. All these things that I used to be so excited about that I got just ended up in the garbage. And I thought about, what if life, what if God is looking at us like this is one big Chuck E. Cheese, huh? We got the gorilla up there playing the drums. We got, that's nothing on you, Sean. We got the terrible pizza. We've got the ball pit that smells like feet. And all of this stuff is going on. And God's just looking at us, going us, saying, look at my kids. Just look at my kids. Just pursuing things that are just so worthless. And I started to do research for this conversation, and I realized that there's a reason that God brings this up so many times throughout Scripture. Now, maybe you were here before, and you have no interaction with Scripture, and you have no idea what this is. And listen, we do what we do here on Sundays because of you. We are so excited that you're here. But I'm going to introduce you to somebody named Paul today. Paul was an apostle. He actually hated Christians, then became one. We'll talk about that later. But Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, okay? And he's writing it in this letter that's called 1 Timothy, because you know we're clever. And in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to his first letter to Timothy. Now, Paul was Jewish, and he became a Christ follower, and he starts to write letters when he's in prison, and he starts to write letters when he's traveling around planting churches. And the great thing about this message, and the reason I love these verses, is that Paul is essentially, and it ties so well into our series, because Paul is essentially coaching Timothy on how to be. He's kind of a mentor to Timothy. So our first passage today, we're going to look into 1 Timothy, and we're going to walk through these passages today. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 6. He says, yet true godliness, that means following God, okay, with contentment is itself great wealth. So he's basically saying, if you can find contentment and you can follow God, your life is set. You're good. So after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. Well, now there's something that no one can argue with, right? We came into this world with nothing, and I bet you we're going to leave with this world with nothing. But sometimes we pursue things with such vigor that it's sometimes as if our life depended on it. And so Paul's telling Timothy, listen, let's just go back to basics. You came into this world with nothing. You are going to leave this world with nothing. So if you have anything, you already have more than what you came in. Okay? That's what he's saying. So he continues in verse 8. He says, so if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Oh, well, that's easy. But the first time I read this, I was like, is it bad that I'm not? I mean, am I a bad person because I'm not content? I don't want to just have enough food for the day, and I don't want to just have what I have. And here's the thing that bugs me sometimes, because there's so much truth that I'm like, you know what? Intuitively, I know there's some truth there. I know there's something right about that sentence. That if I could have enough for clothing on my back and food on my table, and my family has enough for clothing on their backs and food on their table, that I should be content with that, right? But why is it that there is still this desire there? Why is there that there's still this appetite there? Why is it that there is still this thing there that is not content with that? And if any of you have ever felt that way before, keep listening to me because he's talking to us. It's in the next verse. He says, 1 Timothy 6 through 9, he says, 6:9, he says, but people who long to be rich, and I've also seen it translated as like live richly, okay? So these are people who are looking for more than they need, okay? They fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? So before you and I push back, he's basically saying, listen, because you're pursuing these things and because you are pursuing after this thing, you are going to fall into some very specialized temptations that people in third world countries and people that aren't pursuing this stuff that they can't even fathom, that you are going to be set up for some very specialized temptations. And listen, I don't need to tell you. I'm sure some of you can think of your life that many people have come across people in your life in which money has just ruined them. All right, or maybe in your own life, maybe in your own life you're still, you know, climbing in or creeping up from something, all right, and that you've lived on 110%, and people that have just seen this come into place, as he says, they're plunged them into ruin and destruction. He's basically saying, if you have more than you need, there are temptations that you could fall into that you could not fall into if you didn't have more than you need. Okay, that's basically what he's saying. So in chapter 10, verse 10. He says, for the love of money, now that means prioritizing money or the pursuit of money above all things, okay? He says, is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with so many sorrows. I mean, some of you can say that the pursuit of money is what ripped my home apart. Some of you can say that the pursuit of money is what ripped my family apart. Some of you can say that the pursuit of money is what ripped my marriage apart. You see, I have this friend in my life. He's a dear friend of mine, and I asked him if I could share this message or his story with you all because it's so powerful and it's so true, and it so just demonstrates what can happen. He was a good buddy of mine. I grew up with him, in high school, and we went to undergrad together, and we had a lot of the same friends. We hung out all the time, and shortly after he got out of undergrad, about maybe 2 years after he got out of undergrad, he landed this really lucrative job and just, skyrocketed. He just earned way too much money for a guy out of college. You know, he basically from eating ramen to funding ramen. And it was just like way too much to deal with. You know, it was like, wow, this guy's got a lot. It didn't hit him automatically. We were all so happy for him. And he proposed to his longtime girlfriend. And they had this beautiful, lavish wedding. And everything was going great. And then after a while, it's just, we used to talk like once a month, and just hang up and talk about the old time and the mischief that we got into. And I used to see him when I came home. And then slowly things just started to change. And one of the things that started to change was our conversations. And it used to go from like joking about the old times or what we were going to do the next time we saw each other to being like, hey, man, you wouldn't believe what I got. Or hey, man, I can't wait for you to take a ride in my new, whatever car. Or hey, man, I can't wait for you to see this new thing that I got in my house. Or I can't wait for you to play with this new toy that I got. And after a while, when it first started, I was like, man, that's incredible. That's awesome. I can't wait to play with that either. I can't wait to take that for a drive either. Like, I was really on top. I was really on board with him. But then after a while, each conversation just kind of like, dude, I just got this. Dude, I just got that. Oh, man, I got to go, but I'll talk to you soon. Oh, okay, man, it was good listening to you talk. And things just started to change. And then I was heading back into town for Thanksgiving, and we were going to get together, a bunch of us, and, our friends and all that stuff, kind of the old group get back together, and we were going to go to have dinner. And 8 o'clock, everybody was supposed to show up, and his wife showed up and said, oh, he's running a little bit late, but he'll be there. And then 8 o'clock turned into 9 o'clock, and 9 o'clock turned into 10 o'clock, and he never showed. And finally, I didn't even get to see him that entire trip. And we called each other again, and he just apologized. He got stuck up at work. But he's got this brand new thing that he can't wait to show me the next time. And not 2 months later, he calls me panicking. And he goes, Anthony, I don't know what happened. She left. I said, what do you mean she left? He said, my wife, she left. And I said, well, what happened? What did you do? She's like, I don't know. She didn't leave a note. I don't understand it. I bought her this gigantic ring. She has this huge house. She has her own car. I just understand why she would leave. She's got everything she ever wanted. Why does she want to leave? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. And then that following month, I came back for Christmas, and I went to another get-together, and his ex-wife happened to be there, and he wasn't there, but, we were talking, chit-chat, and I kind of just asked. I said, hey, if you need anything, just let me know, and all that stuff. And finally, she just kind of got really teary-eyed, and she's like, listen, Anthony, I know you want to know why, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, well, what do you mean? What couldn't you take? And he just said, I couldn't take all the stuff. it was like every day he was coming home with something new, and I just kind of disappeared. It was like all these new things he wanted to spend his time with. He wanted me to see his new computer. He wanted me to see his new phone, and then he would go, and he would play with that thing, and I lost him. And the straw that broke the camel's back, she said, is that the night before I left him was our anniversary. And he texted me that day that he just bought this brand new, $1,600 suit. And he was coming home. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, he's got a new suit. We're going to go out to dinner. We're going to have a great night. And she said he didn't come home until 10, 11 o'clock. He bought me a bouquet of flowers. He kissed me on the cheek and he went to bed. Now, the story does have a happy ending, but I'm going to leave this as a cliffhanger there. All right? This is a commercial break. Hold on to that for a moment. But I'm sure that this story is not foreign to a lot of you. Some of you may know somebody like this. Some of you may have experienced this. But God says it's not all that's lost. Let's continue to what he says throughout in 1 Timothy. And so in verse 10, he says, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith. And yes, it's terrible when you lose your marriage, and it's terrible when you lose your family, but he's also saying, guess what? Watch out, because this can actually cause you to walk away from Christ. This can actually cause you to lose your faith. because of your pursuit of wealth. I know people who have done that. You may know people who have done that. You may be a person who's done that. Maybe you are coming back now because God, you know, you hit a wall or something like that, or God took something away from you or something like that, and you hit this wall and you said, wow, this isn't going anywhere. But God is saying here, he's saying, listen, I love you so much that I don't want you. I mean, listen to this. It says that they have pierced themselves with so many sorrows. I don't want you to pierce yourself with so many sorrows. He's basically saying we can actually lose what is most valuable to us when we become consumed with consumption. So now you might be asking yourself, okay, Anthony, I get it. I understand that consumerism is bad. I'm a terrible person. Thanks for making me feel that way. That's not what I'm trying to make you feel. That's not what I was feeling. I don't think I'm a terrible person, but, you know, ask my wife. So listen, what I'm saying here is that we all have this thing. What am I supposed to do? Pretend like I don't have this appetite? Pretend like I don't have this thing, this consuming desire to do something? And listen, that's not what he's trying to say. That's why most diets have not worked on me. Some diets are out there like, just pretend you're not hungry. I'm like, I was an actor. I wasn't that great of an actor. I can't pretend. If I see a piece of pizza, I want to eat it. And just pretend like you're not hungry, like I don't have an appetite. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying that this. Remember, we're talking about life coaches, is about getting us to, he's actually getting into our lives, and he's saying, listen, I don't want you to pierce your life with sorrows. I want you to be able to experience life to the fullest. So what he says is this. He's going to coach us. Because he loves us that much, he has some answers for us. So he says in verse 11, he says, listen, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. Now, I've also seen this translated, but you, children of God, but you, man of God. But listen, you are pursuing God, okay? So he says, for those of us who have decided that we're going to put our faith in Jesus Christ, he said, listen, this is some instruction for you, okay? Run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. You see, Paul says to Timothy, as well as you and me, that we need to learn to change direction. That we've got to learn to reroute our thoughts there. He says the temptation for you will be to provide yourself for yourself with all that extra. Okay, so if you have all this extra, like I was with the $500, I have all this extra. Now, what are all the things that I can get? What are all the things that I can do? You've been seeking what you want to eat. You've been seeking what you want to wear. You've been seeking what you want to drive. And listen, it's all valid. I completely understand that. But he says the only way that you are going to escape this trap, this desire to consume, is by replacing it. It's about changing direction. All right? Refocusing, repositioning. Flee and then pursue. We've got to flee from this one thing and then pursue something else. And what is that? What is that we pursue? Great question. He says it in verse 17. He says, teach those who are rich in this world. And that means if you have more, if you have extra, okay? If you have extra than what you came in with, okay? So he's talking to us. He says, not to be proud. Teach them not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Okay, wait a minute, Anthony. What do you mean by our enjoyment? I'll tell you. This isn't a guilt message, okay? I spent a lot of time, some of you know my story, that I spent a lot, when I grew up in a church, before I fell away from the church, I grew up in a church that focused that the capital G word was not grace, but guilt. And God has shown me so much of what grace can be. And like I said, I have no doubt that he brought me to work at a place called Hoboken Grace for a reason. As I begin to understand and as I begin to really see how grace is working in my life, this is not a guilt message. This isn't a, you know, you shouldn't have so much and you should feel guilty about all the stuff that you have, because that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that if you have been blessed, if you are rich in this present world, I want you to enjoy that. He says, enjoy your wealth. You should enjoy being rich in this present world. He just says, watch out. Teach those to not make things and the pursuit of things their chief pursuit. You can enjoy what you have, but don't make it your chief pursuit. You can sit there and you can enjoy your richness in this present world, but don't make it the thing that you are focused on. So what do we focus on? Okay, I understand that. I shouldn't consume. I need to change direction. Well, what do I focus on? Well, he answers us in verse 18. He says, tell them to use their money to do good, They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. So that is that we use all our extra time, we use all our extra money, we use all these things to do intentionally things for other people. So that people aren't looking at what you drive and what you wear and where you live in amazement, but they're actually amazed at what you're doing with where you live, what you drive, and what you wear. He is saying to be generous. And guess what? When we have an abundance, we can afford to be generous. Well, now you'd be saying, Anthony, well, guess what? I don't have extra to give. I've brought myself into a crazy amount of debt. And listen, it all started here for me. It all started here for me. And that's exactly where I was. Listen, I went to undergrad. I went to graduate school. And I came out to New York City. And, you know, here's the truth, guys. I went to undergraduate, and I went to graduate school, and I decided that I was going to get a degree in the most lucrative career I can think of. I got degrees in theater. And then I moved to New York City, which is clearly one of the most inexpensive cities in the world. And I got a job right out of grad school working in Times Square in a retail store in the women's shoes department, making $10 an hour. That's about as wonderful as it sounds. But listen, it's great at parties. I can walk up to people and be like, size 6? How did you know? Well, I'm a genius. I'm a genius. But here's what happened. I got out of grad school. I got out of undergrad. I looked at my credit card statement every month that I was paying who knows what in finance fees and late payment fees. And I was looking at all this and I was like, how do I get out of this? How do I do this? You see, I had started to trust Christ. I became a Christ follower when I was in graduate school. So, you know, I got onto a lot of trouble in credit card debt and undergrad. But then when I finally got into graduate school, I still had student loans and I still had credit card debt. And I started to trust Christ. And maybe you're like me. When I first started to trust Christ, I started to compartmentalize him. Like, I was like, all right, God, I'm going to trust you with my life, and I'm going to give you, you know, I'm going to believe that you sent your one and only son to die on the cross for me, and I'm going to give my life to you, and I'm going to experience that gift of true life. And it just stepped into this wonderful relationship with him. But I was like, listen, just let me date who I want, you know? Like, I'm going to trust you in all these other things, but just let me do this. Or maybe you did what I did, which was, I'm going to trust you in all these things, but listen, I have a degree in theater. Let me figure out my finances by myself. Yeah, it's as ridiculous as it sounds. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to compartmentalize. And God's like, listen. He said, okay, Anthony, prove to me that I'm number one in your life. Prove to me that I'm the most important thing. Prove to me that I'm going to be, that you're going to be in this with me 110%. And so I was listening to a message that kind of changed my life. And for those of you who, you may have heard of this principle before. You may have heard of it if you listen to, you know, Dave Ramsey or Susie Orman, or if you read any financial books, or you've listened to speakers in the past. This isn't something that I came up with. I can't take credit for this, but it is something that changed my life. Can we get that table up on the wall? So this is what changed my life, this little thing right here, okay? So for you on your left, this is what I learned. And if you're not in debt, pay attention to that on your right. Okay? So I learned that I had to address my heart issue. Okay? The fact that I was in debt and the fact that I wanted all these things that was trying to fill this appetite that I had, okay? That I felt like, you know what, this is a heart issue. And I couldn't address the heart issue until I started to see what God wanted me to do with it. And so he says, you know, the first thing you have to do is you have to tell these people to be rich in good works and to be generous. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give. All right? I'm going to give. I was taught that the moment I get paid, the first check I write, because back then we wrote checks, all right? The first check we write, we give away. And because I'm a Christ follower, and because I want to honor him in everything that I do, including my finances, I want to invite him into my personal finance life, I gave that money to furthering his kingdom, all right? I gave that first 10% because he was the most important to me, and I wanted him to be the most important to me. The first 10%, which, you know, as you know, when you work in retail for $10 an hour, isn't a lot, but I gave it to him. Okay, I'm going to trust him in those finances. And then the second thing she says is that we've got to save. Okay, we've got to learn to put stuff away for a rainy day. So the second check that I wrote was to the Actors Federal Credit Union. Yes, that exists. And that's where my saving account was. And then the extra 10% I wrote to my creditors, those dirty, whatever. I wrote to them. I wrote to that 10%. And then I learned to live off of 70% of my income. And it wasn't easy. I'm not saying that, oh, look, this is what you do. Check it off, and you're done. And I was living, like I said, I was trying to be an actor, and I was living in New York City, and I was trying to pay rent, and I was trying to pay utilities, and I was trying to pay off all my debt. But I said to myself, okay, God, if this is what you're asking me to do, if I need to redirect, if I need to change my heart, I need to not think about myself, and I need to give it away, which is really, really difficult because I don't feel like I have anything. And this is what's amazing. This is what happened. When you do that, when you give your first away, you're basically doing exactly what God is doing. God gave his first and only begotten Son so that we could experience eternal life. He gave it away, and we start to align ourselves with what God did. That's what God did, and I have no doubt that that's why God started to honor what I was doing. And I'll tell you this. This is the honest truth, guys. Honest truth. That within 3 years of doing this, 3 years of starting to shift my focus, to start to reroute the way I was going, I finally owned this t-shirt free and all. I paid off this debt. I paid off all my student loans, and I became debt-free. Because I had to address the heart issue. And the heart issue was not able to be redressed until I stopped focusing on me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start giving that to others. I need to refocus. I need to reroute. So 10% I gave, 10% I save, 10% I gave to debt until it was gone, and then I began to 10% to give, 10% to save, and you live off of 80%. And here's the great thing about that. When you start to live this way, if you start to live off of 70% of your income, even if your job changes and your job gets lower or your job gets higher and you still get accustomed to living a certain way, then you're not in danger. I was in danger for so long until I started to reroute my life. And I invited God into my finances. And this is what he promises. This is what he promises in verse 19. 1 Timothy verse 19, he says, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. You see, he says the temptation is to take hold of a life that isn't even life. That I'm pursuing bigger and brighter and shinier. And yeah, I'm with you guys. It feels good when you first get that new toy or when you first get that new thing. But it's like that song that you were so excited to hear at the beginning of the summer and you listen to it over and over and over again. Eventually, you're going to want to find something that replaces that. And that song is Let It Go, and I'm probably there for a reason. But basically what he's saying is when I gave, here's what happened to my heart. I didn't want as much anymore. I was able to curb my consumer appetite with giving. And let me tell you something. I'm amazed at what happened. I was able to really start to see what good could be done when you align yourself with God's values and God's principles. One of the things I do here at Hoboken Grace is I also oversee all the missions trips. And one of the things I love, and that's why I encourage everybody to go on a missions trip, because I tell you what, every time I see somebody come back, not once do I hear a person who comes back who has been out in the field, you know, serving Christ and serving others and giving of their time. Never once have they come back and said to me, "Oh man, that was amazing. I really need to go buy a new television. Oh, that was incredible. I just love getting down and dirty. I need to go buy a new car." That's never happened. Some of the most content people, because after all, that's what we're looking for, right? Content. It's that discontent, that empty feeling, that appetite for something. Some of the most content people that I've met are some of the most generous. I know this woman who it's not even her name, this fund, okay? But there is a fund out there that's named after her grandfather that she personally handles. And she has made it, she has a lot of money. But she has personally made it her goal to be available to people who are underprivileged and who want to go to college. And so she says all they need to do is write a letter and get a couple letters of recommendation. And she personally sits down and looks over there, and that she has given over, she's given millions of dollars to people who don't even know her, who she doesn't even know. But she is one of the most content people, and dare I say, happiest people that I have ever met. And she is changing lives in the process. And the one thing that I've learned is that he can do so much better with it than I'm going to do with it. I mean, clearly. If this is what I'm going to pursue, and that's what he says. He says, the foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. I've never met anybody who has started to do this and wanted to go back. So my prayer for us as we head into the last month of summer, and we can go aw, or not, I don't care. but we head into this last month of summer, that we'll start this fall, and we'll hear kind of what God is saying about redirecting our heart. Because that's all it was. For me, it was a heart issue. And I bet if you dig deeper, you'll realize it's a heart issue for you too. And God is asking us not to pretend like we don't have this appetite, not to pretend like we don't want something, but just like that song today said, to be consumed with Him. He wants us to be so consumed with Him and with others that we don't even realize what garbage we're missing out on. Will you pray with me? Dad, I want to thank you for this message today. And I just want to thank you for for speaking. You know, this isn't always the easiest thing, God. And I know it. And listen, the only reason I'm able to be up here right now is because I've seen you do this in my life. And yeah, I've slipped up, and yeah, I've screwed up at times, but the most important thing is that I turn back to you, and that's the most important thing you want us to know, is that as long as you are in the forefront of our decisions, you want to take care of us. Help us to take this series of Life Coach seriously, and know that you're not up there, you know, somewhere just telling us we shouldn't do this and that you're angry with us, but that you love us so much, that you love us so much that no matter what we do, you can't wait till that moment till we come back to you. And Father, I ask you to help us to replace this desire, this desire to consume, this desire for things with something bigger, with something more tangible, with the desire to give, with the desire to honor you. Because you can do so much better with it than we ever could. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.